Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
To have you with us on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Flounders in just a few moments. Our play-by-play call of the day. Nashville beats the Flyers. Pete Weber with the call.
Looking back to Johansson. Now one man out of the box for Philadelphia. Puck is given back to Subban. Low left, Forsberg. He scores! Noah Forsberg! An impossible angle, you would think. And the Predators have scored a 5-on-4 power play to take back the lead at 6-5.
Also last night was the first home game for the Vegas Golden Knights as they played their game, their first one in the regular season at T-Mobile Arena. And for those who don't know the location of T-Mobile in Vegas, you have, yes, Mandalay Bay, the Luxor. Then you cross over, and when you cross over, you have New York, New York. And back in New York, New York is T-Mobile Arena. That's how close T-Mobile Arena is to Mandalay Bay. And across from New York, New York, and the T-Mobile Arena is MGM. Okay, so that should give you an idea of the lay of the land there. They did a very well-done, poignant pregame ceremony. Very classy and very emotional. And then, to the credit, went out and played great hockey. And they scored 4 first period goals, including 2 by James Neal. They beat Arizona last night 5-2, and the Vegas Golden Knights are off to a 3-0 start. All right. Time now to bring in Bob Flounders from Patriot News and PennLive.com. Bob, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show today.
Okay, we're going to connect Bob with you right now. Now we got Bob ready. There we go.
Hello, Bob. How are you today? It's great to hear you.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, especially on the bye week when hopefully things are a little bit more relaxed for you and I. I don't know if that's the case with you, but it's a perfect time for a bye week, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. At the midway part, I completely agree with you, Bob. When you look at the first half of this season, what does stand out? What is a common thread in the first 6 games that really has now established itself for Penn State?
Yeah, to me, and it's probably it's something that I thought might happen, but a lot of people, I think, it caught a lot of people off guard. Steve, when they got Blake Gillikin and he started to come on last year, and when they recruited all this size and speed on the defensive side, I know a lot of people were really concerned because Brandon Bell and Sickles and Schwann had all moved on, and I really did believe that this defense at some point would be better than last year's, and I thought maybe quite a bit better. But to me, the fact that James and his staff have been able to develop this team into a complete team that, I said this to Dave Jones after the Pitt game, because that was a game they won 33-14. Pitt scored late. It was a touchdown, rather a meaningless touchdown, I thought. And there were a lot of people that were griping because Pitt kept the ball. But I don't think Penn State ever was really threatened in that game. I said to Dave, people are going to say what they want to say, but Penn State is now at the point where they do not need to score 30 points every week to win and to beat a decent team. And I think that is what stands out to me about the first 6 games. You don't need Penn State to play their A game on offense for them to control an opponent. And I just think for the rest of the season and moving forward, I think that really is something that I know Dean Franco feels good about, but I think the fan base should feel really good about.
In the last couple of games in specialty situations, Shaka Toney's come off the bench, and they put him in that four defensive end package with Ryan Buchholz, yeah, Kevin Givens, and Sharif Miller. What has that meant to see that emergence from a young player who is a redshirt freshman?
It's huge. I mean, this is, I think, something that, I think you're going to see more of with James and his staff. They have the ability to look at a kid who is talented and figure out a way to get him on the field in an effective way, I think more so than most cats maybe in the Big Ten. I think one of the things that's changed with Shaka, especially now that we're into the month of October, is that, where he came from high school and where he is now, the nutritional benefits and also the strength room benefits, he may not look it, but I think he is a bigger athlete now who is comfortable, and Penn State has simplified things for him where he knows what's expected of him. He knows exactly what he has to do when he gets on the field. He's on the field for a specific role, and he's a player, Steve. I know it's early, and I know that it was only really one game, the Northwestern game, that he really showed what he can do. But I just feel like as we move forward, the comparison we're going to be making with him as he continues to find his way at Penn State and as he continues to get a little bit bigger, is he, to me, at least at the start, he has a chance to be another Aaron Maiden for Penn State. And I just wonder maybe if maybe he could be even a little bit better than that. I know it's only been one game, but he has some very special characteristics. And that's one of those sacks he had against Northwestern was not just pure speed. It was a combination of speed, and he had that guy on roller skates, and he pushed him back a little bit. I just think that he knows, when I'm on the field, this is what I got to worry about. He's a very, very, very good one-dimensional player right now, and I just think that will continue.
For the most part, Bob, Penn State has had pretty good size at safety. Now you look at the corners. John Reed and Grant Haley were the two corners last year who played really well, both of them. But Haley's playing even better this year. When you look at Christian Campbell and Amani Oyewariye, a pair of 6'1", 6'1.5 corners, what is their size and length now added to the cover skills of the guys that I previously mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I just think back to the Rose Bowl, and John Reed was a big loss. Grant Haley's playing well, but, I mean, in that game, they just went over top of those guys. If USC had those big athletes at receiver, I know Christian played in that game some, but you have two guys that now are confident they can run, and they have, they're 2, 3, 4 inches bigger than those guys, and it's really about matchups on the outside and contested catches, and the way that Penn State is rushing the passer, they don't have to cover very long. I think this is such a more complete defense, and you're seeing complementary football on defense really come into effect. The corners have confidence; they're bigger, they're better equipped to handle receivers that are big. But they also know that they probably don't have to be in coverage very long because the pass rush is going to get home. And when the more defenses get into long yardage situations where you know Sharif and Shaka, and Kevin Givens can just rush the passer with the speed they have at linebacker and at safety, it's really a tough matchup. I don't think there is anything fluky about what you're seeing from the Penn State defense. And I know you can say, well, they really haven't played, maybe a top 20 team. But I think this defense will be a problem for everyone remaining on the Penn State schedule.
Bob, in your first answer, you referenced Blake Gilligan. It didn't take you long to get there. The average drive start for Penn State so far is their own 36-yard line. The average drive start for the opponent is the 22. Penn State is averaging Penn State has 1,058 yards advantage this year in field position, which is 173 yards a game. What has that done for James Franklin, in your opinion, in terms of the ability to play the chess game the way he wants?
Yeah, I just think that Blake Gilligan, you know, you're talking about maybe the best punter in the Big Ten. You're talking about one of the best punters in the country, and you're seeing the impact of field position on a deep defense. You know, Penn State, you look at the pick game. So they kept the ball for a lot, and they moved the ball a great deal. But they had so far to go to get into scoring range that, you know, if you're going to consistently force a team to drive 10, 12, 15 plays, odds are it's either going to be a penalty or a mistake or a turnover. Something is going to go wrong. Penn State can score quickly. The other team cannot score quickly, save for two plays in the Iowa game, really. They cannot score quickly on Penn State. I think it allows Penn State to play all of the players they want to on defense. It allows them to rest players, knowing that, you know, you look at all the kicks he's put inside the 20. They have to go so far just to get into field goal range. And then when Penn State finally does get their backs up against the wall in the red zone, they've been able to play good red zone defense. But, you know, I really think you can tie their defensive success through six games, part of it, into what Blake Gilligan and his coverage players have been able to do. I just think, you know, I remember the 2016 season where they were just giving away, you know, they were kicking the ball 30 yards and, you know, teams were just killing them, you know, in the field position game because of the punting. It just was not very good. They didn't need to have a good punt return against Penn State. Penn State's own worst enemy was the fact that they were only, you know, they would punt on their 30 and the other team would take possession at their 40, and it was just killing them. It was wearing down. It was a pretty good defensive front because they have to play on small field, on short field. That's not the case this year. I really think Blake Gilligan has been one of Penn State's five most important players this year.
We really have barely touched on the offense. When you look at the offense, Bob, what are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is a Penn State offense that I don't think obviously has played its best yet, but I'm seeing an offense and a coaching staff that is adaptable. And I think that, you know, there is something to be said for being able to play the game a number of different ways. You know, James Franklin is not blowing smoke when he says teams are just determined to say, hey, look, you know, if we just play Saquon Barkley straight up, all they have to do is hand him the ball, and if he gets it 20 times and we play him straight up, you know, he's going to break one three or four times in a game. Whereas if we are determined to make life difficult for him as a runner, a lot more things have to go right with Penn State in the passing game for them to have a big play. You know, the pass protection's got to be good. Chase has to throw a good ball, and the receiver has to make the catch. I just think that as Penn State becomes more comfortable playing the game this way, I think you will see in the second half, even though the schedule gets tougher, I think you're going to see more big plays, and I think you're going to see a pass game that is just going to make teams pay for the approach they're going to play with Barkley. Now, I think the one team I think that could play probably Barkley this way and maybe get away with it is probably Ohio State and maybe Michigan because they have good coverage people outside. So right. Penn State's receivers are going to have to win the one-on-one matchup. But you saw Northwestern, Steve, on a windy day. They gave Trace and the receivers a lot of room. And Trace had one of his best days. I think it was really, you know, the yardage might not have been, you know, 380 yards, but the way that he performed, I thought it was one of his better days as a Penn State quarterback, especially on the road. And that's what they're going to have to do. I think that the fans that get frustrated with the running game, they just have to really – I mean, to me, it's about – this is a team that's designed to produce explosive plays, and they don't necessarily have to come in the running game. And I think that some people are starting to realize it, but – And eventually Saquon is still going to get loose once or twice. But I just think that, you know, he is not going to be like Larry Johnson in 2002, where they just hand him the ball 25, 28 times, and he just is physically wearing down a defense. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a different way that they have to attack. They probably are going to have to establish the pass to set up the run. I think they tried to do that. I think they did it against Northwestern. But I see an offense, so that can beat you more than one way. And I think it is to Penn State's credit that they've been able to get that far. And it really paid dividends, Steve, on the final drive against Iowa when they had to throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the patience. They've showed a patience to this point.
Yeah.
As to how they attack. They give it to you, they take it. So instead of trying to force it, they've been patiently just taking what they give you. When you look at Penn State, they're 6-0, and we've discussed here that, hey, look, really they control their own destiny because they've got the schedule to do it. Is this a lot like college basketball, Bob, where it's been a survive and advance each week?
Well, you just don't. The only wild card, Steven, I do get what you're saying. You can only, really, what you're seeing with some of the upsets, you can only control, you know, what you got, what your team is doing. And I think James Franklin's message to the team that every week is a Super Bowl, in a way, it has focused them just on, hey, control what you got to control. You win this week, and good things are going to happen. It's gotten a little, some of the results nationally have been very surprising, but I think it also speaks to where the game is at now, the level of parity in the game, the fact that there aren't really that many teams in a given year that have no flaws, that, you know, every team has got a weak spot, and it is the team that can develop some answers to that weakness, or it is the team that could overcome adversity in games that is going to probably be one of the four best teams, you know, at the end of the year. That's what was so, I think, impressive about last year's Penn State team is they were not a complete football team. I don't really think that they were. They tried and they played hard, but invariably, it was going to be in the second half of the year, more often than not, the offense was going to have to get, they were going to have to get off the deck at some point in the game and take control of it. I don't think they have to play that way anymore, and I think it just is really, it really sets Penn State up, I think, very well for the rest of the schedule. Injuries always are going to come into play, but this is a team that could beat you in all three phases, and I don't know that anyone, whether it's the coaches, the players, or the fans, had this team with the number one scoring defense in the country after six games. And I honestly think their best football is still ahead of them, and I still think this Penn State offense, I don't think we've seen the best of it yet.
It's always a pleasure, Bob. I appreciate the time and the insight very much. It was great seeing you out at Northwestern last week.
Okay, Steve. Have a great bye week. I will see you soon.
Bob Flounders, Patriot News, joining us on the show today, and PennLive.com. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Having trouble trying to figure out what new vehicle to buy? Stop! SMC has all your bases covered. Compare Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai, all at the dealer who has been satisfying more customers for over 100 years. 53 Ford F-150s starting at $23,994. Sunbury Motors has your compact SUVs covered. 46 Ford Escapes starting at $19,925. Take $31,12 off all 17 Hyundai Tucsons. Kia Sportages start at just $23,553. SMC has your mid-size SUV in stock. Right now, 2018 Kia Sorento start at $24,999 with 21 Sorentos to choose from. Take up to $49,49 off 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sports and up to $5,000 off a Lincoln MKX. Sunbury Motors has all your bases covered for your next new vehicle. Go to sunburymotors.com to compare your next new Ford, Lincoln, Kia, or Hyundai. Sunbury Motors, satisfying more customers, selling more cars. A tradition of trust since 1915. We'll be right back.
talk with Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and PennLive.com. I always like talking to Bob. Every once in a while, he has his own show that he does down there, and every once in a while, I join him, and he does it with Ross Tucker. And also Todd Sadowski, my good friend, is on there sometimes as well. And Andrew Callista.
Yeah, how about Andrew? Yes, Andrew was down at the White House yesterday covering the Pens meeting with the president. We posted some Facebook photos there.
We did talk about that on the TV show today. And we did have an open question for the Secret Service. How the heck did that happen?
Say that Andrew just slid right in there. Well done. That's cool you brought up Ross Tucker. He was actually in England a couple weeks ago covering one of the NFL games for Westwood One. I have to get back in touch with Russ. Yeah.
I like Ross.
He's really busy, too. He knocks out podcast after podcast each day.
Yep.
Does a college one, fantasy football one, straight up pick 'em one, breaks the games down. So let's get him back on sometime soon.
No, I'm a big fan. I like Ross a lot. He's really smart, great commentary, no nonsense.
Yeah, fills in for Dan Patrick from time to time.
Kind of guy that we like having on. So, all right, final half hour coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KIA Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. I mean, I'm really tempted on the sports bozo of the day.
Right.
Is that, for example, when, like, the guy who is, say, a color analyst for the team and could really get something out of a luncheon.
Right.
And then tells everybody, I've got a day job when it's lunchtime. Doesn't that worry you a little bit?
It does. Yeah, you say, yeah, this full-time job. Yeah, it's like, it's keeping me from showing up here at the luncheons. And one guy said to me, he goes, you have a full-time job, right? And I go, yeah. I'm here.
All those other people found time, and they're not broadcasting the game.
Yeah, and I kind of had not really a smooth morning. I almost called an audible late and ducked out. But we're good.
But nothing's about you. You are about as egoless a person as I've ever been around in my life. Nothing's about you.
I appreciate that very much.
Nothing is. Be honest with you, Jack's like that, Dick's like that, you know, you're like that. I mean, like, nothing's about you. You're as team gets. And then there's other people where it's just, you know, you're Mercury, I'm Venus, Roger's the Earth, Jamie's Mars, and we're all circling the sun. But our sports bozo of the day will not be that today. It'll be Auburn University, which has hired a law firm to investigate allegations that a part-time academic support staffer took a final exam for at least one football player for the 2016 team. Source told Outside the Lines that a mentor in Auburn's Student Athlete Support Services Department took an online final exam for at least one football player. A tutor who worked with the mentor became aware of the alleged misconduct while reviewing a football player's academic records in February, noticing that the player received a perfect grade on a final exam only a few weeks into the course. Source said the player told the tutor he had not taken the exam. Oh, whoops. After hearing that, the source said the tutor alerted the mentor's supervisor. In August, the tutor who had reported the allegations was told her job would not be renewed, according to the source. The tutor then reported the issue to Auburn's compliance director and the athletics department human resources office. So, in other words, they did everything in terms of procedurally the right way. They've now hired Franklin and White of Birmingham, Alabama, to say that they are looking into the incident. But a statement from the athletic department spokesman on Wednesday called the allegations false. simply not true. The person making the accusation is a part-time employee placed on administrative leave because of a dispute with a co-worker. She's making claims not supported by facts, and based on what ESPN told us, she keeps changing her story. Neither she, her attorney, nor our investigation have produced anything to support her claims. ESPN reporters have not disclosed any source identity to Auburn officials. And that is the sports bozo of the day. Even though you could have probably scored pretty well going with the original direction. In fact, I believe at the Auburn quarterback club meeting today on the plains, I believe their analysts did show up. Yeah. Just thought I'd pass it along. Cubs and Nationals scoreless, bottom of the second inning at Wrigley Field.
So do they have quarterback club on bye weeks?
No.
Okay.
No quarterback club today.
That's what I thought.
I did tape the TV show this morning, and then just took my time, got some lunch, and drove over and took care of some radio business, then came over here. I always said take care of another radio show before I get here, so I did that. So that's what I did. Next week, I've got the Point Guard Club for basketball. That will be on Monday. The Quarterback Club is on Wednesday. So I've got both of those. I was sent an email today. Very, very nice email. Asking me to be on a homecoming float. And I'm going to have to turn it down. And the reason I'm going to have to turn it down is I have a basketball game that night.
November 10th, first game of the season.
Yeah, with Campbell. Can't do it. So are any
of the students in your class involved with the float?
Well, no. This is just
College of Communications float?
No. This happens to be someone from York. That her family has 9 Penn State alumni, 2 retirees from Penn State. It's the second year they've had the float in the homecoming parade. Last year, their guest was Dr. Richard Bundy and his wife. And following his retirement as director of the Blue Band. And this year, they selected me, which is, I'm extremely touched.
That is really, really sweet.
And I can't do it.
And you would if you could. I know you would.
I would have said yes.
Sure.
I would have said yes. Because they've obviously put a lot of time and thought into this. And so I'm going to have to let her know that I can't do it. I feel awful about that.
Actually, back in the 80s in Clinton County, they used to have a Miss Clinton County pageant. It was a qualifier for Miss Pennsylvania. Yeah. And before I met Deb a year before, she was in the pageant. So, yeah, I mean, she'd be able to teach
you. Of course she was.
Yeah, well, she would have been able to teach, could have taught you the pageant wave for on the float.
Yeah.
She was Miss Lock Haven Express.
I am not surprised. What is it, the movie The Rock? Right. She was the homecoming queen. and Sean Connery is, I'm very impressed. So I'm very touched by that. It's just, but I've got a basketball game. In fact, that weekend I've got basketball on Friday, football on Saturday, basketball on Sunday. So, might be a bit tied up at that time. But I was when I saw that, I was very touched by that. And Dave Baker sent me an email about that. And know, said he wanted to get a hold of me first because he didn't want he said he didn't want my child bride having some strange woman call the house. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So during your undergraduate days, you weren't involved in any of the parade? Like, you weren't in any of the parades back then?
No. Now, when I was remember I did morning radio for 21 years?
Absolutely.
There was, I don't know, 3-4 years, the radio station had a float in the parade, so I was on that. But that's been about it. I never really, you know, I'm going back, I don't know. I think the last time I was in it had to be 20-something years ago. Now, obviously, I've had a couple of people suggest, you know, yeah, put you and Jack on it. Like, well, they're not going to be you this year. Yeah. Like, no. So.
Well, if there's one parade I'll choose, let's make it a sometime in January, maybe like a national championship parade down College Avenue. I know that's a long time between now and then, but if I had a parade to choose outside of a homecoming parade, it'd be that.
Yeah, so.
I remember being on a ladder in front of the student.
Ladder.
I was on a ladder in front of the student bookstore downtown after Penn State won the championship in 86. And I was working for a radio station in Lock Haven at the time. And I was one of the PA announcers for the parade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I remember Joe and Sue coming by and just the thunderous ovation that they got. And then the players on the flatbed trucks and people wanting high fives. Oh, it was just really cool.
I did not go to that one because I had a basketball game on the road. I think it was at GW. So I was down in D.C. Yeah, so, doggone, basketball keeps getting wet in my parades. No, just, which I'm, with all due respect to parades, I'm perfectly happy with. So. So, yeah, that's I was very touched by it, by the offer. Under the category of maybe next year, we'll see. I see you've also texted the Week 6 picks. Auburn, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan State, Minnesota. Pack and Vikings, Rams, Jags, and the Steelers at Kansas City. Oh, look. Now, on the TV show, I entered the week in first place. Did you know that? But on this show, I am in dead last.
Yep, you're currently in dead last, unfortunately. Yeah, Kevin and I, we were even this past week, 3-3, and you made the bold prediction going, you went with Dallas over Green instead of Green Bay. That was the linchpin game, yeah.
I'm a game over 500. I'm barely over the Mendoza line. Oh, my goodness. It's just, I got to come up with something bold here. Let's see. Yeah. No, I think I know where I'm there. I think I know where I'm going to make some hay here. I could fall way behind based on these picks, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right. Thanks to Bob Flounders being on the show today. Tomorrow, we've got Joe Susan, high school preview. And for all of you, I mean, have you received a lot of texts about, like, missing the suit in the show? No? Just wondering if you had. I'll take that as a no. He'll be on the show tomorrow, along with the other outstanding announcers that we have on the show. So, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. We've had a lot of fun. Thanks to Bob Flounders, Patriot News, PennLive.com for joining us. Coming up at tomorrow's show, Bucknell football coach Joe Susan at our high school football previews. On Friday, we will be picking. Lots of great picks out there to see if I can close a little bit of ground here. Or whether it continue to be the caboose on this show. Ugh, brutal.
Quick traffic trouble spot to share with everybody. Route 15 South. Just got a call. Route 15 South on the Winfield area. There's going to be some traffic backups there because now it's not in the construction zone with the thruway project at the top of the hill at the Union-Snyder County line. It's more in the Winfield area. But if you are traveling south of Lewisburg, heading down toward Winfield and Shamokin Dam, especially closer you get to Shamokin Dam, just be extra careful, prepared for a little bit of a delay, and hang with us. Keep you posted on that.
Wow. All right, so keep that in mind as you go through. Nationals and Cubs scoreless going to the third inning at Wrigley Field. Strasburg does not appear to be ailing. Seems to be all right. I guess there's another hurricane in the Atlantic, but it's going toward Europe. Ophelia, it's actually going toward Portugal. So, and the Yankees will play the Indians tonight in the deciding game of that series. Sunday Night Football's a doozy. The 0-5 Giants.
First you're down Odell Beckham Jr., now you're down Brandon Marshall. But it's not like Brandon Marshall is setting the world on fire, though.
And Shepard.
Yeah. Oof. I feel for you. Wheels came off that train pretty quick.
I'm broadcasting games for a 6-0 team. I'm not really not that worried about what the Giants are doing.
Well, I know you love the Giants, so, yeah. I just didn't see that coming. I didn't.
Well, I don't think anybody saw it coming, but I thought they were an 8-8 team. To be honest with you, that's what I thought they were. I didn't really see. Here we go. I just.
Although it is going to be interesting. Separation here the next week or two. So it was a nine. I think it's nine NFL teams right now sitting at 3-2.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the issue, though. Your team, the Steelers.
Yep.
When's the last time Roethlisberger had a breakout game? I feel like ever since he came back, which I thought was too quickly, and I give it credit for anybody who wants to go out and play. Believe me. But on the common sense realm, remember he came back before the Ravens game last year? He'd been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of rushed himself back. Remember that?
He got hurt in the Miami game last year.
Yeah. So to his credit, he gets himself back, but he doesn't play a good game. I feel like from that point, what's the last great game he's played? I think it's before he got hurt. And you're a Steeler fan.
I think there's just underachieving across the board, not just Ben, but it just makes you wonder, yeah, if Lev Bell would have gone through a full training camp, would he be playing a lot better now? I think he would have. I mean, luckily there hasn't been any major injuries so far. I would think the only shining star on this team so far has been Ryan Shazier. I mean, Brown has had some good games, but it just seems like the only time Ben is the only person seems like Ben can only trust downfield is Antonio Brown.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean,
no doubt.
Bryant's not clicking yet. Bell's not clicking yet. Offensive line, I think, is kind of underachieving so far. I mean, James Conner missed a block, which led to one of Ben's picks. But you just hope with film and game prep that that's something that Connor, he can kind of put that in the rearview mirror. And he can just chalk that up and not let that happen again.
Right. I just feel like, you know, and I think also Heath Miller, that was that security blanket. And, you know, I think Jesse James has played really well. He's just a different kind of player. But I think it's also a part of the puzzle that he's missing. Like, you take Juju Smith-Schuster, I think he stepped in. He's playing pretty well for them right now.
I think so, too. Yeah.
So. But really, when's the last time he went out as a quarterback and played a dominant game? Now, you watch Aaron Rodgers against the Cowboys, where he goes out and when you need him is playing a dominant game. Fair enough? When's the last time we saw Ben do that? Now, I'm not saying he's playing poorly. Let's not, again, I'm using Ben Roethlisberger's standard of excellence over the past decade as the standard here. I'm not using the standard of, gee, I don't know what you think. Is he Blake Bortles? I'm not doing that.
Oh, no. You know, I'm not getting that impression from you at all. No, I was just...
No, but I'm explaining it to the audience. I'm using Ben's standard against himself.
But just with all this hype going into this season, high-powered offense, unstoppable. I mean, so far, it's just been... They're just, you know, treading in the mud right now.
Our thanks to Bob Flounders, Patriot News, PennLive.com. Tomorrow, Joe Susan on the show. We'll talk Bucknell football. And also our high school football previews tomorrow. We'll talk with the announcers on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Down around, Shamokin is where the traffic problem is?
Winfield, a little south of
Winfield.
Lewisburg. Yes.
Winfield, south of Lewisburg, yep. And Brandon Smith's hometown.
Yep, 15 south.
All right, so 15 south in Winfield, find an alternate route. Maybe that alternate route will take you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.